561, the Song of Songs, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them has lost its young. Your lips are like a scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built in rows of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that graze among the lilies. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, I will go away to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the peak of Amana, from the peak of Senir and Hermon, from the dens of lions, from the mountains of leopards. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, open our ears to hear the words of your Son, and open our hearts to love him. We ask in his name. Amen. The Song of Songs is the Song of Solomon, and yet the dominant voice in the song is the voice of the woman. It is her voice that we hear at the beginning of the song, and it is her voice that we hear at its end. Nevertheless, the bridegroom is not silent. And now at last we hear him speak at length. Or perhaps it would be better to say that now at last we hear him sing at length. For this is a song. And about what does he sing? He sings of his bride. He sings over his bride. And this song that he sings over her, these words that rest upon her, they are all words of love. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. The bridegroom here extols the woman's beauty. He sings of her eyes, her hair, her teeth, her lips, her mouth, her cheeks, her neck, her breasts. His words are intimate, and he sings of intimate things. And so we see it is not only the bride that has been stirred up and awakened to love, it is the bridegroom also. He too has been stirred up and awakened to love. As he sets his gaze upon the woman, all that he sees is lovely, for she is altogether lovely. Her eyes are doves behind her veil. Her eyes do not speak harshness, but gentleness. They do not flit to and fro, but are gracefully nested, at rest, and full of peace. Her hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. If you have ever seen a flock running and leaping together down a slope, then you know the glory of the sight. And so it is that her hair is a crown of glory flowing down upon her shoulders and back. Her teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing, all of which bear twins, not one among them has lost its young. Her teeth are the purest white, and not one of them is missing, and so her smile is radiant. Her lips are like scarlet. They are smooth and soft, and so the kisses of her mouth are pleasant. Her cheeks are like halves of pomegranates behind her veil. Her face is full of color. It does not speak death, but life. Her neck is like a tower of stone, shielded with 1,000 shields. There is strength in her neck. See, she is not weak, but strong. And her breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that graze among the lilies. The description of her breasts is not that of a mother's, but that of a virgin's. Not domesticated, but wild, firm, and youthful, elusive, and desirable. Is it wrong for us to speak of her breasts? How can it be wrong? How can it be wrong for us to speak of that of which the scriptures speak? How can it be wrong for us to extol that which the scriptures extol? Even upon these words, we are called to meditate day and night. And as we meditate upon them, we learn the bridegroom's delight. As we meditate upon these holy words, we learn to think about such things in a holy way. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Here, the bridegroom extols the beauty of his bride. Yet we should not suppose that here he only praises the beauty of her body. We should not suppose that here he praises only the beauty of her form. For here may be seen not only the beauty of her form and shape, but also the beauty of her soul. Yes, she is beautiful in form, but she is also beautiful in righteousness. Consider again the loveliness of her teeth, not one of which is missing. And compare this to the mouth of the wicked, of whom it is said the Lord breaks their teeth. Psalm 3, verse 7, you break the teeth of the wicked. Here we see there is no wickedness within her. She is beautiful in form, but she is also beautiful in goodness. Consider again the strength of her neck. And compare this to that excellent wife of Proverbs 31. Verse 17, she dresses herself with strength. She makes her arms strong. She is beautiful in form, but she is also beautiful in goodness. And not only in goodness, but also in holiness. Consider again her breasts that are like two fawns of the gazelle. And compare this to that deer that pants for flowing streams. So her breasts pant for the living God, they swell at his presence. She is not only beautiful in form, she is beautiful of soul. And this becomes all the more evident as we take these descriptions of her beauty and bind them together. And when we consider them together, we begin to see how the woman is described, how she resembles the dwelling of the Lord. We see this in various ways. We see it in her hair, like a flock of goats. For the curtains that covered the sanctuary of the tabernacle, they were made of goat's hair. And likewise, we see it in the veil of her face and in the scarlet of her lips. For the veil of the sanctuary was woven with scarlet thread. We see it in the pomegranate of her cheeks, her pomegranates hung from the hem of the priestly robe. We see it in her unblemished mouth and in her teeth like washed sheep. For sheep without blemish were offered upon the altar. And the woman herself is compared to a sacrifice without blemish. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. There is no blemish in you. And though there was no tower in the tabernacle or in the temple, there were towers upon the walls of Jerusalem, the city of God, and there was a tower in the vineyard of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a tower in the midst of it. See the beauty of the woman. It reflects the beauty of the dwelling place of the Lord. The beauty of the woman reflects the beauty of his sanctuary upon Mount Zion, upon his holy hill. Truly, then, she is like a mountain of myrrh. She is like a hill of frankincense. She is anointed with the fragrance of his house, and the aroma of his presence, it rests upon her. See, she is the image of his glory. She is the likeness of his beauty. She is the reflection of his holiness. She is a place fit for him to dwell. Here we see that the bride is also a dwelling place. The bride of the bridegroom. She is a dwelling place for the Lord. And yet, here in the Song of Songs, chapter 4, we do not find the bridegroom dwelling with her. Yes, he sings to her. He sings over her. But he does so from afar. We do not find him here dwelling with her. We find him calling to her. For though she may resemble a mountain of myrrh, though she may be like a hill of frankincense, we are told that he has gone away to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. And it is from there that he calls to her, come with me, my bride. He speaks to her from afar. He He speaks to her from the mountain of myrrh, from the hill of frankincense. It is from there that he speaks these words of love. It is from there that his song descends and rests upon her. And he is there until the day breathes and the shadows flee. He is there until night is no more. He is there. But where is she? See, she is in the midst of lions and leopards. She dwells in the midst of lions' dens. As we consider these things, as we ponder their meaning, we see once again how the song concerns so truly Christ and the Church. Truly, he is our bridegroom. And truly, we are his bride. But see, where is he? And where are we? He has gone away. He has gone away to the heavenly mountain of myrrh. He has ascended to the heavenly hill of frankincense. And here we dwell. The Church dwells among dens of lions, among lions that would tear us to pieces. Yet we are not alone. His song is with us. His song is with us by day to cover us, and by night to protect us. Truly, he is our strength and our song. He is our salvation. And his words of love, they descend from heaven upon us. His words of love are poured out upon us. They wash us. They cleanse us. They transform us. As he sings to us, as he sings over us, we are transformed by his song. We are transformed by his love. And we become what he sings. We become what he loves. See the power of his words. See the power of his song. See the power of his love. Now we see his bride behind her veil. We do not see her as she will be seen. We do not yet see her in the fullness of what she will be. But when at last the day breathes and the shadows flee, then we will see her unveiled. Then we will see her as Christ here sings of her. When she is presented to him in splendor, without blemish, without flaw, blameless and holy, perfect in body and soul. Behold the power of the tongue. Behold the power of words. It is the power to build up. The power to destroy. What do you think happens to a person when we speak to that person words that are full of bitterness and resentment? What do you think happens to our wives, to our sons, to our daughters, to one another, when we speak words of harshness and violence? What do you think happens to them when they are surrounded by the strife of tongues? When we open our mouths to insult them and belittle them, will they be built up? Will they be strengthened? Will they be sanctified? Should we be surprised to discover that their hearts have been torn into pieces and their souls weakened unto death? What do you expect will happen when we use our tongues to destroy? What is the cure? What is the cure for the destruction wrought by the tongue? The words of Christ are the cure. The words of this song are the cure. These words bring healing. This song makes us whole. Let us then speak these words to one another. Let us sing these words to one another. Let our wives, let our sons, let our daughters know these words of love. Let these words rest upon them. Let these words surround them. That together we might be transformed by them. See. Christ stands in the heavenly places. He sings these words to us. He sings these words over us. Anoint us like oil. They rest upon us like dew. They wash us. They cleanse us. They heal us. By these words of love, we are prepared for love. By these words of holiness, we become holy. Let us then attend to the words of this song, that when at last the day breathes and the shadows flee, our Lord will find in this place a bride prepared. Amen.